Welcome to the Way Shamanism podcast. I'm your host, Jessica. I am an Essene shaman, and here I share all about my work with you. And this is all based on my own experiences and opinions, never a substitute for medical advice. Let's begin our journey. Hi, everybody, and welcome back to another episode. I'm so glad you're here. Because today I'm going to be letting you in on some very personal things that have been happening in my life. And this is all to do with my experience and growing relationship in Christ consciousness. Coming from an atheist background, it's pretty crazy to think about. So I want to discuss it deeper with you guys. So many of you have been asking me for an update since I started to share a little bit more about my experiences about a little over a year ago. But before we get into all of that, I want to bring to your attention that a new round of Source Alchemy, round 3 already, is open. And you have 2 weeks to join this round. I don't know for how long I will be doing this, but it is really one of the offerings, spaces that I've created that I'm most proud of and that feel deeply, deeply nourishing to me. And Source Alchemy is all about ancient, Essene, divine, feminine, sacred sexuality initiation. It's for deep healing, sexual trauma, other types of trauma. It's about third eye activation, real manifestation, not the journaling, visualization, child's play, but it's a very deep, very purifying initiation. And I truly feel that every woman should know these practices, and you haven't started living until you do. So for more information about Source Alchemy, go to my website, go to my Instagram, check out the podcast episodes 65, 66, 67, I think 89, I think 90. Check those out. And for any questions, just reach out. So my journey with Christ consciousness, like I said, it's still crazy for me to think about because I come from a very atheist background, very anti-church, anti-religion. Religion was opium for the people. Our religion in our household was science, and there was a real superiority in that. So I really grew up with the conviction that people who went to church or believed in God were just naive and not so smart. Really, there was this sort of condescending, patronizing energy built into that atheism that really, you know, lended this sort of sense of superiority. Not that I went through life with that feeling. I was very spiritual as a child. I was Buddhist for quite a long time. I'll tell you a little bit about that as well. But that's where I come from. That's what my family still is. I do have some family that are religious, that are Christian, that go to church. But the only person I really knew who was religious and went to church was my grandmother. But she was not in practice, in theory, living up to those, let's say, ideals and standards. So I didn't have any role model or demonstration of like a beautiful form of Christianity in my life. And I still don't, because this is not about Christianity. It's not about the church. It's not about religion. I do not connect with any of those. Those do not resonate with me at all. To me, those are really institutions that have been built around a certain energy, but have become very much service to self. And many have always been service to self. Yeshua didn't go to church. In fact, there were very clear statements about never having idols, never worshiping anything. It's really about a way of life and a way of relating to God or to Source. So trigger alerts, if you find it so stupid to say trigger alert, it's just, I just want to let you know that if you have any religious trauma, which I had too, mildly, this may be a confronting episode for you. So just keep that in mind. And if you still want to hang around and listen, just keep an open mind and know that I come from a similar stance in the past. So I grew up atheist, and my sense of spirituality was very personal. It came down to me and my guides, my journeying practices, having prophetic dreams. And when I was around 19, 20 years old, I became Buddhist. I met a very dear friend who just had this kind of like lively energy and sparkle about her. And when she told me that she was Buddhist, I was immediately interested. And I just dove in and learned everything that I could. I started practicing Buddhism. And for 10 years, that was just a part of my daily life. I totally forget about this, but I was actually responsible. I was what they call, quote unquote, a leader for the young women in the east of Amsterdam, which means that I would organize meetings and support women every week in their own journey. And this is a lay organization. So leader, it's kind of like an inverted pyramid. Like the more responsibility you have, the more you carry, instead of the more influence you exert. There is really no such thing in that organization. That really spoke to me. And that is really where I naturally could sort of cultivate and grow my love for supporting other people on their journeys and really holding space for them. So that was a part of my daily life. But even in that organization, it would make me very resistant, and it would give me this icky feeling when people would try to like pull me in deeper or push me to go to certain events or activities. It would really turn me off. And when I was supporting others as a quote unquote leader, I would always tell them, just do whatever you want to do. If you don't want to go to the event, don't go. I would be really, I was really different to how other people would function in that organization. Even though I will say overall, although I am not a part of it anymore, it was really beautiful. And I have met some of the most amazing people there. And I've learned so much. So my relationship with Source was very much spiritual and energetic and based on my own personal experiences with spirits in journeys. And none of these have been really religious spirits. I have had a visit from Lakshmi at one point, which is, you know, part of Hindu religion. And I do wonder if it was because I was physically in Asia at that time. I was living in Singapore that this happened. Like, she came into my energy field with a message, which was a really beautiful and empowering message, because I was really sick at the time. And this was really in the phase where I was healing my own chronic illness through journeying. And in that very deep internal space where I was just in my energy field all the time. And still, in my relationship with Source and with spirits, I was very atheist. And I did recognize at certain times in my life a certain like sacredness or holiness. Like, I met this in MJ when I first met him. I just felt this energy from him, and I've always felt that around certain people. So as I went further along into journeying and I started my practice, I was still atheist. I had no relationship with Jesus. Of course, the Essenes have been really foundational to me in the beginning, because they were such a source, and in many ways still are, a source of inspiration and just a really fascinating last remnant that we historically have when it comes to these very powerful consciousness expanding practices. But anything to do with religion would immediately turn me off. This changed when I started to be taken out of my body to meet God and do spiritual warfare. So this is how my relationship with God specifically grew, I still find it sometimes challenging to use the word God straight up. On my social media, you will see that I always use the word source. And this is really because I, first of all, want to be respectful to not exclude anyone who is resistant to the word God and has religious trauma, because seeing so many clients with religious trauma, knowing about the horrible things that happen in churches, that happen under the guise of religion, I want to be very careful and mindful about the words that I use. So here it's a little bit different because I can give you context to this word for me and what it means to me and what it means about my relationship. Social media is not the real best place to kind of elucidate that and go deeper into it. So these spiritual battle experiences are totally crazy still. They're the best experiences that I've had in my life, and they still happen. And those experiences are where I grow in my relationship with God, because on a higher self level, I have always been doing this warfare, which I here on earth plane translate into my journey work. But there is an aspect of me that's constantly doing this in collaboration with God, with Source, with Spirit, who is now in this body instructing me in how to do better. And it's a process of learning and integrating and also failing and looking to other, you know, sources and inspiration. Because the thing about these experiences is, even though I want to get all of my instruction and training just from God, and I have had quite a bit, I'm not in control of when these experiences happen. So sometimes I have to wait months to be taken on a journey like that. And it's funny, it will often be that I'm in a dream, and then from that dream space, I will be taken out of the dream by angels and will go up, will go to meet God, and he will show me things. And I say he because the way that I have seen him is as a man with a male voice. So whether, you know, at the core, he is just spirit, just consciousness, guides, angelic beings, ascended masters, they all show themselves physically a certain way, and they can manifest in different ways. But I just say he because it is a masculine consciousness that I have been working with. And in these battle experiences, my body will be used for battle. I will be instructed on how to do battle, and not just by God, but also by different beings related to the sun, for example. I won't go too deeply into all of those. But these have happened totally spontaneously and through journeys. And they have always been spiritual battle related. And they're always instructional. There are like little training retreats that I'm spontaneously being pulled into. So having been in the presence of this energy changed everything for me, because when you're in that presence, there's absolutely no doubt about who you're dealing with. Same with Yeshua or Jesus. I was taken up out of my body by angels to meet Jesus. It was a very sacred, very special experience that I've talked about in a separate episode. And when you're in his presence, there is no doubt about who you are, who you're dealing with. So it puts everything else into perspective relative to that energy. So it helps you to recognize what is not that. And everything in life starts to really revolve around, how do I get back there? And how do I serve better? How do I become better? how can I spend more time there? Which is not necessarily the goal, because, you know, God sends us into this body, into this life, so that we can do specific things here, which for me is spiritual battle. That's a big part of it. For you, maybe something different. But on top of that, our perspective of time is very different than it is for God, and it is for certain spirits. And MJ, he did go to Bible school and stuff like that when he was younger. So he has a lot of Bible knowledge that I don't have. So I learned that from other people. But he also reminded me that Moses was in the desert for 40 years waiting for a sign from God. So sometimes we just have to keep working at it and become better and get closer to that energy. And naturally, what I call let this sort of entropy set in my life, where I just let that source purify everything, and automatically certain things, certain activities and things and people will start to resonate more, and other things will start to resonate less. Some of which being religion for me even more. You see a lot of people doing things in quote unquote God's name, but it's just their own judgment. And, you know, even I learned this from Jessie Saboder. She's like a very well-versed Bible knower, that the Sadducees and the Pharisees, you had those two and then the Essenes, but the Sadducees and the Pharisees, they created all of these rules and laws that we need to be obedient to. And they take a lot of things that weren't even part of God's law. So Christianity also takes things out, like real empowerment. And the Shekinah, for example, which was the feminine life force energy that we work with in Source Alchemy. And then there is the religious spirit. So the religious spirit is a very real dark spirit that sort of masks like something godly, but is not. It's really a vehicle for more separation, more judgment, more death-affirming energy rather than life-affirming. And they try to define for us what godliness is and how we relate to it, how we act in a godly way. But it's really based on rules that had nothing to do with that godly energy and historically don't even have anything to do with the teachings of Yeshua, for example. So the Bible, I'm still grappling with, because on the one hand, it's an excellent spiritual battle manual. And there are some things that are up in the air for me. Some people say that it is complete, that despite everything that is happening in the world, that God can keep those books together and those teachings. Other people say that there were originally 777 books. There are so many issues in translations. Just, you know, looking at the heavy editing that went into the Dead Sea Scrolls for 30 years, I find it very hard to believe that the Bible is complete and unedited and a very true representation of those godly teachings. So I am more interested in exo-biblical texts like the Book of Enoch or the Pisces Sophia, for example, are really excellent. And I have been moving away from the Essenes in general, not because they were involved with this rule-making of the Sadducees and the Pharisees necessarily, although when you read their teachings, they're very much based on rules. But they were also polytheistic, so they also worshipped angels. And when I journey, I sometimes work with angels, but I don't worship them. Plus, there is a big war and sacrifice component to their teachings. And we have to read that in their zeitgeist, so the war that they were literally in at that time. But still, I'm a pacifist in every way. Although Yeshua wasn't. So I'm trying to kind of grapple with all of these concepts in my own life. But What a lot of people don't realize is that we live in Yuga, so we live in these ages. And right now we're in the Kali Yuga, which is the age of war and chaos and confusion and destruction. And the Bible really only stems not from the beginning of time, but from this specific Yuga, which is basically the worst of the four Yugas. So naturally it has a lot of this, I think personally, confusion built into it already. And when you look at the Garden of Eden, for example, to me, based on my multidimensional experience that I've had, it was serious genetic manipulation going on from a different race. Not saying that that was good, not saying that that was bad, but I see the Bible from a certain perspective from the work that I do. So all of this division and chaos and war and judgment, especially that I see springing from any form of religion, you don't even want anything to do with any of that when you're in a real relationship with God, where you know that you are fully loved and accepted, because the energy of God is, it is an authority. It is intimidating, but it's also calm and it's also very gentle and doesn't keep record of any of our wrongs. So why should we, and why should we use them to judge each other, hold them over each other's heads, Bible thump? So he's a real being and a real like the most beautiful, forgiving energy there is, and is in a very real place where we can actually go to with angels and a throne room and everything, and all the abundance and healing and all the solutions that we could ever need are there. And this is all of this abundance is available to us, but nobody's really coming to claim it because of all of this confusion and because people are in a very perfectionistic relationship with God, if they are in that relationship at all. And what I mean by that is that you just try to be good and you try to be better and you feel like, you know, God is just looking at all your mistakes and is mad at you. This is how I felt for the first time that I didn't have any of those experiences for a few months. I was like, oh, I messed it up. God is mad at me. He doesn't want to use me anymore. You know, all of that self-pity that all just comes from fear and judgment. So that kind of perfectionism to then start to just strive and do better and prove yourself, I think that is good when it comes from a real desire to be more of service, but not when it just gives you a false sense of safety. Because when you actually are in the presence of God in Yeshua, it wants us to be bold and to grow and to try, but not to be stifled. He wants to have, and this is what he said to me once in a journey and showed me, because I was struggling with that perfectionism, that he wanted to have a very real relationship. And it was in that moment, like a true father child. This is really personal what I'm sharing here, but this was a really beautiful, most beautiful thing I've ever experienced, where I could really feel that father-child bond that's so deep and totally unconditional. And this was a blind journey, so I had no idea what I was being tasked on. So it was really the most objective, pure, incredible emotional experience ever. And since then, I've had a really more honest, real, chill communication and relationship. So it's so unfortunate, same with Yeshua, that when we hear the word Jesus or Jesus is going to save you or whatever, we kind of, or I used to, just blank or just block it out and avoid those people. And I think a lot of that resistance is just built into the churches because they are dominated by a dark religious spirit. For the most part, there are always exceptions, but there is a religious spirit in the church. So what we have to go by, and by the way, I work with a lot of people on removing this religious spirit because when it comes to Catholicism, Mormonism, it's a very real infringement on the energy field. It's a real life force sucker. So what we need to look at is, what proof do you have for your relationship with God? Like, what has God or Source done in your life that's just totally undeniable? And go by that, because I wish the experiences that I have had for everyone, and there are so many people that have even way more and way in more intense communication, but ultimately I received those true gifts, and I have never set foot in a church unless it was maybe for a wedding or a funeral or anything like that. So look at the actual proof and how you feel in your relationship with God, whether you want to call it God or Source. So speaking also about these experiences and how they happen spontaneously, why do they happen to some people? Why not to others? I think it's really about your determination and where you are at in your purpose and service and readiness. Some people have none of that and are just totally in a ditch at a low point in life, and they find God or Source there as well. So there really doesn't seem to be a sort of denominator for this, but there is a thing about genetics. So what you see with system kids is that they are targeted for their gifts because of certain DNA. So I have some of that Essene ancient stuff in my family. And what's quite interesting is, and by the way, this is not like a privilege, you're more special than other people. It's just that you have a certain type of DNA that allows for certain experiences to happen more easily, but it also means that you are targeted by negative forces a lot more easily. So there are very dark, very nasty things that have happened to me because of this that I have never shared on here, and you wouldn't wish them on anyone. So it is genetic to some extent. What's quite cool is that my cousin and I, we have a very important, similar sort of multidimensional set of experiences also involving each other. So certain beings have a certain interest because of certain genetics. And she is my last name. She has double. And she just told me this like 2 weeks ago, that her mother's mother, her grandmother's maiden name, is also our paternal maiden name. So she has like a double whammy of all of this going on. So again, not to say anyone's more special under God, but some are bred. Some just have a specific reason they came into this incarnation right now and work together with these beings, which you can also totally decide to do. This is what I teach. This is what I teach in the Way Circle. And with everyone who has that determination that they want to be of service, they start to get elected for it immediately. And things start to happen where they are just put in a place, in a role to do that. And they start to grow very quickly in that service, in that relationship. And this includes spiritual battle experiences. It includes becoming very good at journeying. So you don't need to even know. I didn't know anything about my lineage or ancestry or anything like that, because if you've listened to my prior episodes, you know how I feel about those types of organizations and institutions. And also, ultimately, we are all equal. So I just want to say, you don't always get answers right away, and you have to keep tuning in and stay in that super connected relationship with yourself and with God or Source, and keep paying attention and deepen it. Lots of people forget or reject their mission at first and are still stuck on this sort of karmic wheel, this vicious cycle, before it's their time to ascend. But once you are ready, you start to ascend very rapidly. So I want to talk a little bit, very quickly, because I've had questions about this, Jordan Peterson. So this is an example of someone who in the past 2 years has really risen to fame as this authority. And this is how you can tell if someone is good or not. So people ask me about Kanye all the time. Has he really come to God? Is he really out of the system? Is he stepping out? Is he free? Elon Musk also. So there's so much confusion. And this has to do with the Antichrist movement, okay? Because we are now in the age where there are going to be multiple Antichrists. And there are going to be people, I'm not saying that Kanye or Elon Musk or Jordan Peterson is the Antichrist. I'm not saying that. But we're going to have those figures who are highly charismatic, highly talented, who we love, and they will all have this sort of anti-hero story to gain trust and this, you know, false integrity. Sometimes, you know, it'll be real integrity, but sometimes it'll be false. And that also means that there is a certain sort of disclosure about the dark system or great white brotherhood built into that. So there will always be the question, like, why are they turning against the system here or disclosing this or doing that? Are they still a part of it or not? You can tell that someone is still a part of it if they have a platform and if they are still making money. Very easy. If you turn against that system, you will lose everything. They will take everything away from you. So why do I mention Jordan Peterson? Because discernment is so important. He is someone that everything that I've heard from him, like I listened to some of his stuff a couple years ago, I agree with everything pretty much that he says. But still, when people rise to fame and influence that quick, I don't trust it. And in his case, I was really wondering, and I will bring questions like that to God or Source and ask, like, what is this person's deal? What's their motive? And I was then listening to a talk of his about the gender neutral movement and sex change, gender changes and stuff like that. And very quickly, very subtly, he mentioned that SRA, satanic ritual abuse, isn't real. And that that was some kind of false fantasy or false memory syndrome that women had in the 70s. And then he went on to talk about gender politics and stuff like that. And I was like, thank you. That is exactly what I wanted to know. So what you will see in the disclosure movement and even in Christianity and, you know, everything that we think is beautiful and aligned, there will be like a false prophecy, false sense of godlihood. So Jordan Peterson, by the way, also, I think, recently had this encounter with God and is now a believer. Don't let that mean too much, because this is just, I'm not trying to like tear him down. Not that, you know, anyone cares about my opinion of him, but he's just a good example who kind of makes you wonder, because someone of his influence and intellect and network and someone who works as a psychologist or even psychiatrist, he knows that SRA is real. Anywhere in society, across all levels, if you reach a certain level of success, influence, access, information, insight, there is no way that you cannot know. And what you will see with a lot of people is that they will disclose like 95% of what's wrong with the world, but they will not admit to satanic ritual abuse and human trafficking that's happening. So for him to just deny that, and also not make like a big hoopla out of it, but just mention it real quick. That to me is a little bit of mind control or manipulation at best, or, you know, at best, really negligent and really disrespectful. But I don't believe it at all, because when it comes to SRA, which is really when it comes to journeying and soul fragmentation, it's the worst form of soul fragmentation that is done on purpose to people. So for me, in my profession, really important to understand. And there are psychiatrists and psychologists who, as their full-time job, only see SRA victims and help SRA victims. It's that big. There are so many victims, and you have to understand that with SRA, to survive that and come out, and on top of that, be in a position where you can see a therapist, is it's a very small percentage of people who have experienced SRA. Most don't survive it. Most get killed. Others kill themselves or end up on the street or in poverty or not really on a psychiatrist's couch, usually. So for there to be so many full-time psychiatrists dedicated to this problem, you know, if you work in that field, you're aware. So when it comes to discerning what's godly and what's not godly, pay attention, be very discerning, and also feel into people's energy. Look into their eyes, listen to the sound of their voice. That will already tell you so much. So in this episode, I just wanted to update you on what's been going on with me recently. Even this week, I had a beautiful experience where, again, God took me out of a dream and gave me a confirmation or an answer to a question that I have been asking. And it was not about Jordan Peterson. It was about more deep, personal, intimate stuff about my relationship with him and with my work and my purpose. And if you are wanting to grow in that relationship, just focus on it being personal and it being real and it being authentic, and ask questions, and then don't forget to really pay attention. So that's what I wanted to share today. By the way, I am finalizing, I say this very optimistically because it just keeps growing at this point, a spiritual battle course. And I want to give everyone who is hardcore here and into spiritual battle, feels that calling, the opportunity to join early at a very friendly rate. And I've never done that before, but there's going to be a movement, and I need to instruct and include more people in this. It's going to be very, very exciting. If you feel very inspired and alive by all the truth that I share here, know that it's just the tip of the iceberg, and that space, that training will be for you. And if you want to grow just in service to the Tree of Life and spiritual battle, know that it's not going to be scary. It's going to be very doable, very safe, very practical, very fun, but very effective as well. And you can take it as far as you want to. So if you're up for that, send me an email and say that you're interested in specifically the spiritual battle training that's coming up. And I will include you in a special offering. So that's it for today. Sending you lots of love, and I will see you in the next episode.